you got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5, 35 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Thank you very, very much for listening. Still to come on the program today, just a jam-packed show. Secretary of State John Merrill, that in the 10 o'clock hour, he'll be with us. 11 o'clock hour, a couple of friends, from Alabama political reporter Josh Moon will be with us. And then we'll wrap it all up with our usual Wednesday guest, formerly my boss at Yellowhammer News, but now has ventured off into the political consulting realm from SR Communications. Sean Ross will be with us. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We certainly do appreciate you listening. But joining us now, friend of the program, always willing to come on, and very, very appreciative of that, State Senator Jim McClendon on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning to you.
Senator,
Jeff, it's good to hear from you. Hey, let me ask, I got a question for you.
Absolutely.
Do you know what they call legislators that have announced that they're not going to run again?
I would assume you're lame ducks, but I bet you have something else in mind.
They don't.
They don't call them. Well, I do. We do.
Well, thank goodness. I've been watching my phone this morning in case somebody calls.
you'll have to go check the mail every 15 minutes to see if you got a check in there for your campaign. I mean, it's got to be pretty liberating, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, it does kind of release you from looking and saying, oh, I better be careful about saying that because they may not help me when I start my campaign up.
But here we are today.
Trey Gowdy said the other day that if you're going to have term limits, it needs to be limited to public service, period. You get one shot at it, and meaning that you can't run for the House and then turn around and serve your term out, and then turn around and run for the Senate and serve your term out. It's an interesting thought in that you're released from motivation that you want to keep running and keep running and stay in there forever. It was an interesting, very interesting thing he said, and I think I agree with him. However, what you got on your mind?
Let's give our listeners, first off, an update. I know just you could only talk about it in very limited ways, but working on that reapportionment, drawing those new lines, what do you expect to hear from when do you expect to hear from the federal government to be able to kind of get the ball rolling here?
Well, we're still on the mid-August expectation of getting the most accurate numbers we're going to get. We're not going to get precise numbers like we have in the past because the folks have actually, the Census Bureau have actually massaged the numbers in order to keep folks from being identified individually about information they may put on their census. But those are the numbers we'll have to work with. And assuming we do receive those numbers in mid-August, it'll take us a week or two to get them in our computer system, where when we draw the maps, we get accurate data. And then at that point, we'll start working with legislative members. We've already roughed in the congressional districts. There's only seven of those, so it makes it easier to get them roughed in. And feel like we've got congressional delegation on board or close to it. We're currently working on State Board of Education districts. There's eight of those, so that's a little bit more doable. But once we get the numbers in about a month from now, we'll be able to start honing in on drawing Senate and House districts. We'll do Senate first, then we'll do House districts. House is the hardest because there's 105 of them. And there'll be some big impacts down in your area now simply because you mentioned earlier how folks migrate within the state, and there's been a lot of migration south. Baldwin County's picked up a significant population, which means those districts will have to shrink in size in order to try to stay with the one person, one vote ratio, or as close to it as we can get.
Senator, how much input do the members that that sit in those districts, that sit in those seats, how much input do they, I know that they're going to have an input when they go and vote on the lines inevitably, but when you're working on these, how much do you work with the sitting member of those districts?
We'll work with every one of them individually that want to come in and talk about their districts. There's quite a few that feel confident enough to just draw me a district and let me know where my voters are, and I'll go run for it. But there is some anxiety over that. But since we've got to have their vote, these are pieces of legislation just like any other bill, and it goes before the Senate and goes before the House for a vote. So we give everyone an opportunity. In fact, we sent out a couple of months ago, I sent maps, and I think Representative Pringle did the same in the House. We sent them out maps that showed their district and the surrounding area and said, what do you want to do with it? And let them draw on a piece of paper, show what they want to put in or take out. And they all had rough estimates of what's happening to the population there. So, but each one, everyone that wants to, will have a chance to sit down with us at the computer and try to come up with something that makes them happy enough where they'll vote for it.
How much, we talked about population shifts and obviously Baldwin County really growing over the last 10 years. And I would assume, I guess, maybe Huntsville's had seen some growth as well. But where are the places where you think we're going to see the significant changes when we talk about population changes?
Well, you've mentioned the two areas that have had the biggest percentage growth in their population. You mentioned Ken Paschal being elected, I believe that's District 73. And if you look at Shelby County area, you'll see, and that district's entirely in Shelby County, you'll see that the numbers are in the 40s for all the other legislators there, all the other House members. And the reason he's a 73 is because 10 years ago when we redrew the maps, there had been significant population loss in the Montgomery area and significant population gained in the Shelby County area. And we actually moved District 73 from Montgomery to Shelby County. That's an example of what can happen. We have to follow the people when we draw these maps.
That's fascinating. That's my 73 is the district that I actually grew up in high school, went to Pelham High. Same with, I guess now your new colleague, April Weaver, filling Cam Ward's seat. That, Shelby County, all through the late 80s, the 90s, and into the 2000s, really was the where the explosive growth was going on in Alabama. Is it cooled off, or is it still? It looks like it's heading south, I guess. Is it still kind of a place that you're looking at where you're seeing a lot of growth?
Oh, definitely. And what you'll see is those House districts there become more compact because of the increased number of people. So those districts will actually get smaller. And districts in other areas, particularly in rural areas, there's a migration pattern that's been going on for decades. And that's from rural Alabama to urban Alabama, suburban Alabama. And that's why we have to redraw, The Constitution calls for it every 10 years, and there is the concept of one person, one vote. And so we try to chase the people down and get a circle around them and make a district out of it and do it in a way where we stay within a certain percentage so that all districts are about the same, have about the same number of people. Now, in the Black Belt, there's a migration out from there. And so those House districts and Senate districts will actually get larger geographically in order to capture the necessary number of people.
And some of those districts right now already are very, very expansive. Those House districts, if you look at them, we have a number of counties in one of them, Thomas Jackson, that I think.
They are, and that's just because of the movement of the people. And so there's a big disparity in the geographic areas that the legislators have to cover. Those in the cities can have much smaller districts and fewer miles to drive to reach their constituents. And those in the rural areas can have some pretty large districts and a lot of miles to drive.
Yeah,
on top of that, they have a lot of county commissions to deal with, a lot of principals to deal with. So it's a different they have different issues than the folks in the cities.
It's very fascinating to see how this works out. And I assume the last time you did this, 2010, but technology, advances in technology certainly helped. Is that fair to say?
Well, one of the things that will be blatantly obvious to our legislators as we work with them is we'll be projecting these districts on a large screen. That thing must be, 6-7 feet across and maybe 5 feet up and down. 10 years ago when we did it, we projected them on a desktop. And so we'd have 3 or 4 people standing around trying to look at a single computer screen. This way you'll be able to have a room full of people if you want them. And we'll be able to blow it up so they'll get more detail whether they captured that church that they wanted to make sure is in their district or grandma's house, whatever it is they're trying to get in there.
Joined by State Senator Jim McClendon here on the program. Just a few more moments. Senator, I'll move on to something else here. I see there's I saw this on Capital Journal Friday night. There is a panel that's been commissioned to re-examine what we got right and what we got wrong coming out of COVID. As you see it, do you have much faith in this? You know, I know this is you're chairman of the Health Committee in the Senate, and this is something that you paid really close attention to throughout the pandemic. But do you think we're going to get anywhere with this effort?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. The one statement that I saw about that group was that it was not put together to throw rocks at anybody or find fault with somebody's activities. Well, let me tell you, our Alabama's response to getting the COVID vaccine available was unquestionably the worst in the nation. And right now, our vaccination rate is the lowest in the nation. And my opinion is it's time to throw some rocks. Folks, there needs to be some name-calling and reorganization and changes in the way that's done, because we performed miserably and are continuing to perform miserably in dealing with this pandemic.
Well, and that low vaccination rate, I mean, what would you, if you had your way, if you were the state health officer, what more could be done? My opinion on it is, I just think it's been overly politicized, and no one to really blame maybe but ourselves here. But is there something the healthcare bureaucracy in Alabama could have done to improve those numbers?
Well, there's got to be something that they've done. I'm not too sure what it is. You know, the real bottom line on this, whether or not to get a vaccination, is not difficult at all. If you don't want to get COVID and don't want to bring it home, then you need to go get a vaccination. And if you don't care whether you get COVID or not, then don't worry about it. If that's your issue. Now, I'm telling you, as someone who was in the hospital, I think 11 days with it, I'm telling you, it is not a cakewalk, and it is not fun. And it strikes folks. And with this new Delta variant going on now, who knows what a mystery hour that is. But you ask a great question, and that question is, how do you get folks to go get this shot if they're resistant to it? Well, here in Alabama, and I'm sure the rest of America, folks don't want to be told what to do. I'm not sure where we're going, but I will assure you there's 49 states out there that have done a better job than us. I think probably the first thing I'd do is send some emissaries out to these other states and find out what they're doing different.
Well, you know, one of the things they talk about incentivizing it, a vaccine lottery or anything like that. Do you think that's something that we ought to be considering?
Well, there's got to be ways that work. Now, I have not read or uncovered any areas where this lottery concept has been notably successful, but I think they're finally beginning to do public service announcements about this business. That's a start. But I feel like the State Board of Public Health should have jumped on this a long time ago and taken the lead. I mean, that is their job. They are the State Board of Public Health. Well, that defines their responsibility. Their responsibility is to try to keep Alabamians healthy and keep them out of the hospital if possible. And I would say there's been a miserable failure in doing that.
Senator, we're up against a break here, but you've been very kind with your time. Let's talk again real soon. And like I said, and enjoy this last year. It's like your senior year of high school, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. Except it's a winding down for me. It'll be fun. This next regular legislative session that starts in January, I think will be fun. We're beginning to see some bills and ideas come out. I just hope that the legislators don't worry too much about the lobbyists and the influences that they have put on them from the outside when they need to be focusing on the welfare of the people of Alabama.
Senator, we'll leave it there. Thanks for coming on.
All right. See you, Jeff. Bye.
Soon-to-be former state senator Jim McClendon on the line there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.